Okay, welcome to our final Daf a week here from Maseches Tainus. We are on Daf Lamed Alf, or this is Daf Lamed Alf. We are on Daf Lamed Mabeis 30b. We're basically smack in the middle of the dot, in the middle of the page at the two dots where it says Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev. So let's just jump right in, and God willing, tonight we will make this seem a Maseches Tainus. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Kfias Hamita V'lohudu Lo Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda obligated everyone to turn over their beds on Erev Tisha B'Av so that when it came to sleeping on Tisha B'Av night, they would not sleep on their beds. V'lo The Chachamim did not agree with this. They said, no, you could just sleep on your bed like regular, even though we don't follow this, and we'll see it's sort of back and forth. But ultimately, we don't follow this. It's not a halacha. This does seem to be the root of the custom to either put like a rock under the pillow on Tisha B'Av night, or to, if you sleep with two pillows, take away one pillow, or sleep on the floor, or something like that. That seems to be rooted in this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So, says the Gemara, Tanya Amru Lo L'Rabbi Yehuda L'Dvarecha Ubaros U'Minakos Matei Aleihen. Rabbi Yehuda, you're really going to make pregnant women and nursing women, you're going to make them sleep on the floor on Tisha B'Av night, but that's not healthy for them. So would you have such a stringency? Amar Lehem, he would say, no, af ani lo amarti ela biyachol. He says, I only say that you have to do it. You have to turn over the beds and sleep on the floor. If you're able to, if you're not able to, then don't do it. Tani nami hachi was taught on a brisa just like this. Moder Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim b'she'inu yachol. That Rabbi Yehuda says he agrees with the chachamim when it comes to people who are unable to sleep on the floor, who are unable to do this, they don't have to do it. In a case where someone is able to do it, meaning they agree with Rabbi Yehuda. They say at the end of the day, if you're able to do it, then you should do it. Says the Gemara, what? My Benaiha, what's the difference between these two shitos over here? This doesn't make any sense. If they are, because they basically, they're agreeing. They're saying when you could do it, you should do it. When you can't do it, you don't have to do it. So Ika Benaiha, says the Gemara, no, there is a difference between them. When it comes to Sha'ar, Mitos, when it comes to the rest of the beds in the house, when they were told to turn over the beds in the house, when it comes to Hilchos Avelos, lo mitoso bilvad, hu kofa, not just their bed, but ela kol hamitos kulan hu kofa. All of the beds in the house they were told to overturn. And so evidently, Rabbi Yehuda would say that this applies to Tisha B'Av as well, and the Chachamim would say, no, this does not apply to Tisha B'Av, only your own beds they were going to be using, not all the beds in the house. Amar Rava. Rava says, okay, so at the end of the day, so I'm confused here. Who do we paskin like? We paskin like both of them. We paskin like Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. What's going on? Huch sakatana di dance. Rabbi Yehuda. Rava says that we paskin like our Tana, and v'lo hodu lo Chachamim kol ikar. The Chachamim did not agree with Rabbi Yehuda at all, that at the end of the day, even if you're able to turn over the bed and you're able to sleep on the floor, you're not obligated to do so on Tisha B'Av. That's not part of your requirements. Okay, next two dots. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael k'chamisha asar b'av v'kiyom ha-kippurim. The two greatest Yom Tovs of the year were the Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. So b'shlam Yom ha-kippurim, I understand Yom Kippur very well, says the Gemara. Why? Mishum de'isbeis lichum mechila, because it's the day of pardon and forgiveness. How much better can it get? So of course that's the greatest Yom Tov. But and also Yom Shenisnu Bo Luchos HaHachronos was the day in which we were given the second set of Luchos. Ela Tu B'Av Mayhi, when it comes to Tu B'Av, what makes it so great? So we're going to have six answers. What makes it so great? Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, the first reason Yom Shehutru Shvatim Labo Zebaze. It happened to be that back in the biblical times, whenever you had a man who only had daughters, and the man passed away, and his daughters would inherit the land from this man, and so in the times of the Torah, so you could not. These daughters could only marry within their same tribe. They were not able to marry out of another tribe. So if daughters inherited their father's land from the tribe of Reuven, they could not marry and a man from the tribe of Shimon, because then all the land from Reuven, from this family, would go to the tribe of Shimon. And since that couldn't happen, so they said they couldn't marry into other tribes. But then after that, after the times of the Torah, after the times of this generation, the Shvatim were allowed to marry into the other tribes, even in these situations when it was only the daughter, so the land could in theory be transferred over like this from one tribe to another. Evidently that change happened on Tu B'Av. My Darush, where is the drasha for this? Zeha Davar, Arshert Siva Hashem Levinos Slavcha. This, that the Pasuk says that this is the matter that Hashem commanded to the daughters of Slavcha. We of course know the famous story of Slavcha's daughters from the Torah. And so the Gemara says that what does the Pasuk mean? Zeha Davar, Davar Zeh Lo Yehinahug. This matter will only be applicable Ela Bedor Zeh, in this generation. That's what it means. Zeha Davar, meaning this matter only applies in this generation, but in any other generation it does not apply. So after that generation, I guess starting from Tu B'Av, this never applied anymore. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Nachman, Yom Shehutar Shevet Binyamin Labo Bakahal. We know the very famous story, with Pilegish Begiva, that there was a concubine who was raped by many men, and it's a terrifying story, and she ultimately died because of all of this, and so they decided to chop up this woman's body and send them to all the tribes, and basically all the tribes were so disgusted and so bothered by what the people from the tribe of Binyamin did, so they said, ultimately we're not going to allow our children to marry into the tribe of Binyamin, and evidently on Tu B'Av, sometime later, this decree was nullified, and then they allowed the people, the daughters, to marry into the tribe. They allowed people to marry into the tribe of Binyamin. Shenamar, what does the pasuk say? Ve'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzpah lemor ish mimena lo yitin bito the Binyamin leisha, that a man in Israel swore in mitzpah, saying that that a man from himself he will not give over his daughter to Binyamin to marry his wife. My darush, what's the drush over here? Amar Rav, the Rav says mimenu v'lo mibaninu. The pasuk says that the man says I'm not going to give from himself, from myself I'm not going to give, but from my children already. They don't have such a prohibition, meaning that the children of these people, when it comes to them giving over their children, they were allowed to, and they allow such a thing, and therefore, I guess that started happening once again on Tu B'Av. Fine, next statement of the Gemara, third reason now, says the Gemara, Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yom Shakalu Bo Mesei Midbar. Tu B'Av was the day in which the people stopped dying in the desert. We know that when that after the Meraglim came, after the spies came and spied out the land, and they gave the report, and we already heard this whole story on a previous stuff about how they cried that night, and it was really terrible. So God says that this generation did not get to go into the land of Israel, so these people would die periodically every single year. Every year they were commanded to dig graves for themselves and to sleep in these graves on Tisha B'Av, and some of them would not wake up, and those who did wake up, they'd get to go along with the rest of their day, but inevitably there were always some who did not wake up, and that was part of the punishment of not being able to enter into the land of Israel. And the idea is that one year, and they went into the graves in Tisha B'Av night, and they found that they had not died. But then there was a concern. Maybe they miscalculated. Maybe they got the calendar wrong. So the Jews kept sleeping in the graves for the 10th of Av, the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and then came the 15th. They're like, you know what? It must be we got the calendar right, but maybe it's finally time that Hashem stopped this plague after these 40 years in the desert. And therefore, since they realized that on Tu B'Av, so Tu B'Av became a very happy day when they realized that the people stopped dying in the desert. The Amar Mar, we learned previously, Ad Shelo Kalu Mesei Midbar, that as long as the people were dying in the desert like this, Lo Haya Dibor Im Moshe, Hashem would not speak with Moshe. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vayhi Kasher Tamu Kol Anshei HaMelchama Lamos, when all the people, when all the men of war stopped dying. And then the next pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem Elai, that Hashem spoke to me. Elai Haya Hadibor, that Hashem spoke to me, meaning that finally Hashem spoke to Moshe after the people stopped dying in the desert. Okay, that was reason number, I think, what are we up to? I think that was four. And then finally five. Maybe that was three. Okay, I lost track. Fine, that's all right. Let's keep going. Ula Amar Yom Shebital Hoshea Ben Ela Prus Dios Shehushev Yerav Ben Avat Al Hadrachim Shelo Ya'alu Yisrael L'Ragil. Ula says that this is the day that the king Hoshea ben Ela got rid of the barriers that the Yeravim ben Nevat had put on the pathways, on the streets, on the roads that prevented the Jews from making Aliyah the regel. So he got rid of them. This king. So you think, oh wow, what a tzaddik this guy is. But says the Gemara, no, he's not much of a tzaddik because ve'amar le'ezeh shiyir tzigalu. He said, you know, the Jewish people should have a choice. They want to go up to the Beis Hamikdash or they want to serve the other gods, whatever they want. But you shouldn't limit them. That's not fair. We should have freedom of religion over here. Everyone should be able to do whatever they want to do, and therefore he clearly wasn't the best guy in the world, but at the very least he did clear up the roads, which was a good thing, and so that must have happened on Tu B'Av, and therefore it was a happy day. The next reason, perspective, why Tu B'Av was a happy day, Rav Masna Amar, Yom Shenasnu Harugi Beitar Lekvura, it was the day in which the Harugi Beitar, people who were massacred at the quashing of the revolt of the Bar Kokhba rebellions, and the whole city of Beitar was destroyed, so they were not allowed to be buried that day, or right after the battle, it took some time, so finally Tu B'Av was the time, that was the day that they were actually able to finally be buried, which was obviously very special, but Amar Rav Masna also yom shenisnu haruge beitar lekvura tiknu biyad hatov ha'meitiv. Evidently, the fourth bracha of Birchas Hamazon, the blessing of hatov ha'meitiv, was established on this same day by the Anshei Yavne, by the Chachamim in Yavne. They established the blessing of hatov ha'meitiv, which again, so that we have four basic blessings in Birchas Hamazon. The first three are midaraisa, so the fourth one is midarabanan, and that was established. That was decreed and I guess evidently written as well on this day. Hatov shalo hisrichu. So what is the hatov and what is the hamitiv? So that Hashem does good and that He confers good. So hatov shalo hisrichu. So that He does good, that He didn't allow the bodies to decay, which was of course in the special miracle, a special thing that Hashem did. The hamitiv, and that He confers good. Shenasnu lekvur, that He allowed the Jew, He allowed these poor souls to be buried. Rabba v'Rav Yosef damrei tervaihu. And then finally, the last answer that's given, this is the sixth, I think, answer. So Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both say that this is, the Tuba was Yom Shepasku Milichros Eitzim Lamaracha. This was the day that the wood stopped being chopped to be given over to the fires in this Be'ach, that says the Gemara, Ditanya, Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol Omer, Michamisha Asarba, from the 15th of Av and on, the strength of the sun wanes, meaning because the days start to get shorter already. And they would not cut wood anymore for the fire on the Mizbeach, because the trees wouldn't be totally dried out anymore. And so what was the issue over here? So you never wanted to have moist trees that were on the used for the fire on the Mizbeach, because moist trees would allow for worms to be in the trees, and that's not appropriate. So it could only be dried out trees in which they were able to, in which you knew there weren't any worms in there. And so evidently that change, that shift in the nature, started happening on Tu B'Av. So Tu B'Av was like the day of the seam in which they said, "Oh, we finally did all the cutting of the wood for this year," and therefore it was such a happy day because they finished doing this. And so this is like one of the sources for making a seam, because when they finished, they were so happy, and therefore so this is the thing that happened on Tu B'Av according to another perspective, according to Rabba and Rav Yosef. Amarav Menasha v'karo layom tavar magal. They call this day the day of the axes breaking, because understandably this is when they threw out the axes. They were no longer in need of the axes anymore. Mikanda ilach de Mosef Yosef. And then also it happens to be that since the days are getting shorter, when they had these long summer days, it was great because they would learn Torah the entire day, and it was a very long day. But once the summer days started to wane and the nights became longer, so the Gemara says that de Mosef Yosef, that that someone who adds in their learning, that they don't just learn during the day, but they also learn at night, then Yosef, they will be, their days of their life will be lengthened and added. But the Lomosif, Yasif, says the Gerus to change them. So Rosh Hashanah over here, Yasif. If you don't add time to your learning at night, then you will end up being gathered in, meaning you will die. You will die early, evidently. Says the Gemara, what do you mean you're going to die early? So my safe. What does it mean you're gonna die early? Amar Rav Yosef to kavri imi, that your mother is going to bury you, meaning you're clearly gonna not have the longest life because your own mother is gonna have to bury you. So you should learn Torah at night, especially when it comes to the winter months, because the days are gonna be shorter. So if you can't learn as much then you should learn more at night. Okay, and then finally the last few lines of the Masechta. Shebehen Benos Yerushalayim. We know that the Benos Yerushalayim would dance on Tu B'Av in the fields. Tana Rabbanan Bas Melech Shavuos Mi Bas Kohen Gadol. So what would they do when it came to borrowing the clothes, the white clothes that they would wear? So the daughter of the king would borrow from the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. Bas Kohen Gadol Mi Bas Sgan. The daughter of the Kohen Gadol would borrow from the daughter of the assistant Kohen Gadol. Bas Sgan. The daughter of the assistant Mi Bas Mashuach Melchama would borrow from the daughter of the Kohen who was appointed for war. There was a Kohen that would go out with them to war and hype them up and everything. So the daughter of the Skan would borrow from the daughter of the appointed one for war. Ubas Mashuach Machama Mibas Kohen Hedjud, and the daughter of the Kohen who was appointed for war, she borrowed from the daughter of a regular Kohen. The Kol Yisrael Shoal and Zeh Mizeh, and all of the Jewish people just borrowed from one another. Kadesha Lo Yisbayish Es Misha Inlo, so that no one who didn't have one would be embarrassed because everyone's borrowing from everyone. Then says the Mishnah, two dots, the last skinny line of the page. Kola kilim teunin tevila. We know that all of the clothes needed to be toveled, even if we knew they weren't tummy. There was a low plug. All of the clothes would have to be toveled because there was a concern, because some of them, at the very least, were likely tummy from having been worn when the woman was in nida. Amar Rabbi Elazar afilu mekuflen umunachen ubekufsa. Even the clothes that were like folded away, put in the drawers and the dresser. Even those had to be toveled, again, because there was a low plug that everyone had to tovel these clothes. And then finally, Benos Yisrael Yotzos V'cholos V'kramim, they would go out into the vineyards and they would dance and everything. Tana, Misha Inlo Isha Nifna L'sham, and it was taught in the Braisa that if you didn't have a wife, then this is the point where you would turn then if you didn't have a wife, then this is the time, this is the day on Tu B'Av, you'd go out when this was all happening, you would turn to there to get a wife. And then Miyuchsos Shabahen Hayu Omros Bahor, then the Mishnah said there were lots of things, lots of different statements that the women would make to the men in the fields. One such statement was Tana Rabbanan Yofiafios Shabahen Ma Hayu Omros. So let's say there was a beautiful woman, so the rabbis told her that the beautiful woman would say to the men, what would they say? Tanu Tanu Einechem Liyofi Shein Haisha El Liyofi. They would say to their to these young men, look at how beautiful I am. Ultimately, the only reason I have a wife is because you want to have someone who's beautiful, so therefore you should marry me. Miyuchsos, those who come from good families, Shabahen Mahayu Omras, what would they say? Tanu Einechem Lemishpacha, look at my family that I come from. Lefi Shein Haisha El Libanim, ultimately you marry someone because you want to have kids. You want to have kids who are going to have an easy time, and if you marry me, then the kids we're going to have are going to have an easy time in Shiduchim, because they come from a good family, and if they come from a good family, then they'll have their choice pick of any boy or girl they want to marry. Mechuaros, but what about the women who are not so good looking? Shebehem, that were among them, Mahayu Omros, what would they say? Kichu mikachachem l'shum shemayim, they would say to acquire your like purchase l'shem shemayim, you should marry me l'shma, do it for the right reasons, l'shem shemayim, she'tachrunu b'zuhuvim, as long as you adorn us in gold, meaning treat us like any other woman that you would respectfully, you would dress her nicely and you would give her nice jewelry, you should do the same for us, and that's all we would take. They had a good self-esteem, it was good for them. Amar Ula, Bira'a Amar Rabbi Elazar, finally the famous closing statement of Maseches Tehinis, At the end of days, Hashem is going to make a giant circle of the tzaddikim, of all the righteous people who ever lived, and he's going to sit among them in Gan Eden. And every single one's going to point, like show with their finger, going to point to Hashem. That he shall say on that day, behold, this is our God, we hope to him and he saved us, this is Hashem to whom we hoped, let us exult and be glad in his salvation. That brings us to the end of Maseches Tainus. Hadron Alach B'Shlosha Prakim V'Slik Allah Maseches Tainus. Everyone should have a beautiful night.